singing our first song, Glorious Day. If you know it, sing it out. If not, just if I want to just clap along, dance along. Yeah, let's get excited.
I was buried beneath my shame. Who could carry that kind of weight? It was my tomb till I met you. I was breathing but not alive. All my failures I tried to hide. It was my sin till I met you. You called my name and I ran out of that grave. Out of the darkness into your glorious day. You called my name and I ran out of that grave. Out of the darkness into your glorious day. Now your mercy has saved my soul. Now your freedom is all that I know. The old maid knew Jesus when I met you. You called my name and I ran out of that grave. Out of the darkness into your glorious day. You called my name and I ran out of that grave. Out of the darkness into your glorious day. Rescue, my sin was heavy, but chains break at the weight of your glory. I needed shelter, I was an orphan, now you call me a citizen of heaven. When I was broken, you were my healing, now your love is the air that I'm breathing. I have a future, my eyes are open. When you call my name, I ran out of that grave. Out of the darkness into your glorious day. You call my name and I ran out of that grave. Out of the darkness into your glorious day.
So this next song, Stand in Your Love, the chorus is one line. So at the very least, we should be able to get that one all together.
When darkness tries to roll over my bones, when sorrow comes to steal the joy I own, when brokenness and pain is all I know, I won't be shaken, no, I won't be shaken. It's my fear. Doesn't stand a chance when I stand in your love. My fear doesn't stand a chance when I stand in your love. My fear doesn't stand a chance when I stand in your love. not a captive to the lie. I'm not afraid to leave my past behind. I won't be shaken. No, I won't be shaken. There's power that can empty out a grave. There's resurrection power that can save. There's power in your name. Power in your name. My fear doesn't stand a chance when I stand in your love. My fear doesn't stand a chance when I stand.
God of power, may the boldness of your Spirit transform us. May the gentleness of your Spirit lead us. May the gifts of your Spirit be our goal and our strength now and always. Amen. Lord, I come. I confess. Bowing. I find my home. Without you, I fall apart. You're the one that guides me. Lord, I need you.
We are going to come into a time of prayer, so I ask you all to quiet your hearts and your minds and to bow your head and close your eyes and just take whatever you have on your heart to God for just a few moments of silence. Gracious and holy God, we come before you today with hearts full of praise and gratitude for the gift of your Holy Spirit. When you departed from this earth, you left us with a promise, a hope that even as you sit on the throne, your presence can and will be felt here and now. It is in this spirit of thanks and celebration that we lift up our voice to you this morning. We know that every blessing in our lives comes directly from you, God, and your unfailing grace and love. We know your Holy Spirit works within and around us in times of joy and in times of pain. And that is why we also take this moment to lift our concerns up to you, Father. For you are with us on the tops of the highest of mountains and with us down in the deepest of valleys. This morning we lift up the sick and the broken and the hurting. We lift up those suffering from disease and addiction. We lift up the depressed and the downtrodden. For we know that you yearn for all of your children to feel the love and hope that we have found in your Son, Christ Jesus. And now, Father God, we come to you and we pray the words that you taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Let's add these words to that prayer.
Teach my song to rise to you. Temptation comes my way. When I cannot stand, I'll fall on you. Jesus, you're my hope and stay. And when I cannot stand, I'll fall on you. Jesus, you're my hope and stay. Lord, I need you. Oh, I need you. Every hour I need you. My one defense, my righteousness. Oh, God, how I need you.
couple of days ago, this space looked very different, as there were over 250 children, along with a lot of youth and adult volunteers, sharing time together as a part of our vacation Bible school. We wanted you, for those of you who weren't around for any of that, to be able to catch a glimpse of what the week was like. And so we've got a short video to show you this morning and invite you to take a look at that. Tell you about one story out of this past week's VBS that brings it home to me and the difference that being able to offer something like VBS makes. There's someone in our congregation who became aware of a family that she knew who the dad is having some health challenges right now, and that family doesn't have a church home. And so she reached out to Elizabeth to say, is there any way we could make room? And this was just a couple of days before VBS started. Anyway, we could make room and provide a scholarship for their kids to come to VBS. And Elizabeth said, absolutely. And so those kids came and they experienced the love of God in this space. And who knows what seeds may have been planted this past week for those two kids and also for their family because of the hospitality and the love that they received. So this morning, as we get ready to share our offerings, I want to say to you, thank you. Thank you for being a church that makes things like that possible. And one of the ways we do that is through our gifts that help support ministries like Vacation Bible School. Now, would you join me in a word of prayer this morning? Oh God, what a joy it is and a privilege to be able to use this space and to be able to create opportunities for children like Vacation Bible School. We pray for that family that connected with Trinity this week and that you will be with them. And for every child who heard a message this week of love, of promise, of hope for their future because of how much God loves for them, we pray that you will be with them as they continue the journey and be with us as we surround them with a community of love and forgiveness. And now receive our gifts and use them for your purposes here in the church and in the community and throughout the world. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly, a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Now, they were staying in Jerusalem, God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. When they heard this sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment because each one heard their own language being spoken. Utterly amazed, they asked, "Aren't all these who are speaking Galileans? Then how is it that each one of us hears them in our own native language? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya near Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans and Arabs. We hear them declaring the wonder of God in our own tongues." Amazed and perplexed, they asked one another, "What is this word?"
I invite you to bow your heads and pray for me as I pray for you in receiving this word. Let's pray. For God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, for you are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. So when we think about the Holy Spirit, we think about several different images, perhaps. One is probably fire, because in Acts 2 it says that tongues of fire came and rested on each one of their heads on that day of Pentecost. We also might think about wind, because it came like the rush of a mighty wind and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. We also might think of breath, because the word for spirit is pneuma in the New Testament in Greek, and in Hebrew it's ruah, which is literally translated as breath. And then, of course, we probably think also about that dove that descended on Jesus' head on the day of his baptism. But there's another image of the Holy Spirit, that it too is a bird, but not that peaceful and serene dove that landed on Jesus' head. No, the image of the Holy Spirit, another bird image, is that of the wild goose. Now, why the wild goose? Well, because sometimes the Spirit does hover over us, comforting us and reassuring us. But other times, the Spirit surprises us and disturbs us. It swoops in like a wild and unpredictable goose. Wild geese are not controllable. They are not tameable. You can't restrain a wild goose and bend it to your will. Unlike the sweet, cooing sound of a dove or the soft, gentle sound of its wings, goose is noisy and raucous. Its wings are powerful, and its honk is loud and startling. And let's face it, when the Holy Spirit came on that first day of Pentecost, on that very first day, it was noisy and raucous and completely startling for everyone. You remember that on the night before Jesus died and was crucified, he told the disciples that although he would be leaving them, he would be sending them an advocate to be with them. His Spirit would be with them always and guide and direct them. And after his crucifixion and resurrection, he appeared to the disciples several times over those 40 days before he ascended to sit at the right hand of God, like we talked about last week. But after his ascension, he never again appeared in physical form to the disciples. And so they waited. They waited for the one that Jesus had promised, not understanding who or what it was. They waited not knowing what to expect, what would happen, when it would happen, what it would look like. And then that day in Jerusalem, on the day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit came with a sound like the rush of a violent wind. It filled the entire house where they were sitting, and divided tongues as a fire appeared among them and rested on each one of them. It was very noisy and unnerving. And everyone started speaking in the native language that was not their own, in the native language of another. The crowds were astonished and amazed. Some wondered how in the world this could be happening. Others thought the disciples were just drunk. Surely they are filled with new wine, the scripture says. The Spirit may have descended on Jesus at his baptism like a serene and peaceful dove. But on the day of Pentecost, it surely appears more like a wild and noisy goose. Winds like flapping wings and tongues of fire, as startling as the honk of geese flying overhead. So, as I was thinking about Pentecost and the coming of the Holy Spirit and this image of the wild goose, I thought about how, as Christians, what we are really on is a wild goose chase. With Jesus no longer with us in physical form, we are now called as Christians to listen to and to follow the Holy Spirit, the presence of Christ with us here and now. And sometimes that's easier said than done. Sometimes trying to keep up with the Holy Spirit and to follow where we are being led is like being on a wild goose chase. And apparently that thought is not an original one to me, because when I Googled wild goose chase and Holy Spirit, I discovered this book by Mark Batterson called The Wild Goose Chase, and he too is talking about the Holy Spirit, a strong and powerful presence in our lives, and what it means to embrace that Spirit as the wild goose. You know, for most of us, we want nothing more than to be in the presence of Christ, to have the presence of the Holy Spirit in our lives, and to chase after God's will for us. That's what we want. But quite often it takes a lot of courage and extraordinary willingness to do it. I think about those who were asked to follow Christ and yet wanted to do it on their own terms. Luke tells us about Jesus walking down the road and saying to someone, "Follow me." And that person replies, "Oh, Lord, first let me go and bury my father." Then Jesus said to him, "Okay, fine. Take a little while and do that." No. Jesus said to him, "Let the dead bury their own dead. But as for you, go and proclaim the kingdom of God." How many of us have concerns like that? It's not an excuse. It's a valid reason why we can't follow immediately, why we need to put off following the Holy Spirit and going in a new and different direction. Burying your father, that's a good and responsible thing to do. But apparently, not if Jesus calls and asks you to follow. Ouch. That hurts. But that's how it is sometimes. How these geese are. They are wild and untamed, and sometimes even in the habit of biting those who want to try to contain or capture them. You know, sometimes as a church, we too get comfortable in our familiar patterns, our ways of doing things. And we need someone to sound the alarm, to let us know that maybe we've fallen asleep on the job, to let us know that maybe we've gotten too concerned with maintaining the status quo. Did you know that geese are good at sounding the alarm? There's this ancient legend about geese warning the Romans and saving them from attack. You You see, when the enemy Gauls were on their way to attack the Romans who slept on their hilltop fortress, the capital, it was the geese who alerted the Romans and sounded the alarm. The first invaders were almost to the ramparts when the geese, who were kept as sacred birds by Romans, began to screech and were making such a racket that the Romans woke up and were awakened and were alerted to the attack. In fact, geese are such an important alarm that they are effective alarm that they are still actually used today to sound the alarm. You know, you never know what you'll find out when you're researching for a sermon. And so I learned something new. Perhaps some of you are familiar with Ballantine's 17-year-old Scotch whiskey. I won't ask you to raise your hand. It's made in Scotland, and it's housed in a warehouse outside of Dumbarton. And as well as having a state-of-the-art security system and around-the-clock armed guards to protect this expensive inventory, they are also famous for utilizing a unique line of defense, a gaggle of ferocious white geese. Yes, it's true. And those geese will start flapping and honking and sounding the alarm, and they are actually known as the Scotch Watch. And throughout the history of the church, by the power of the Holy Spirit, God has sounded the alarm to remind the church not to get too comfortable with our status quo, to sound the alarm for revival and renewal and reform whenever that is necessary. Think about Martin Luther. On October 31st, 1517, he got fed up with the church selling indulgences. If you wanted to indulge, you could purchase an indulgence, and then you would be forgiven for your sin. And he sounded the alarm and challenged the status quo. In his frustration, he posted 95 theses on the door of Castle Church in Wittenberg, Germany. And he was led by the Spirit with one small act of courage. And yet, it ignited the Protestant Reformation. Then in 1521, Luther was called before Charles V and put on trial for his beliefs. But he did not back down. Instead, he had the courage to follow this wild goose, and he's quoted as saying this: "My conscience is taken captive by God's word. I cannot and will not recant anything. To act against our conscience is neither safer for us nor open to us. On this I take my stand, I can do no other. God help me. Amen." Again and again, when things appear to be firmly in the control of hierarchies and religious establishments, God would sound the alarm by the power of the Holy Spirit and work through people and situations to move the church forward. Sometimes be quite frightening, because sometimes we know where God is leading, and sometimes we really don't. In Battison's book, I was amazed to learn the story of some missionaries in the early 20th century. These missionaries knew exactly where God was calling them, and it was a frightening endeavor. As a matter of fact, they were known as one-way missionaries because they would buy a one-way ticket and pack all of their belongings in a wooden coffin, knowing that once they went, they would not return. One of those missionaries was A.W. Milne. His wild goose chase led him to attempt to share the good news with a tribe of headhunters on a group of islands in the South Pacific. All of the other missionaries who had gone to this tribe to witness to them had been martyred, and but that didn't keep Milne away. He lived among the tribe for 35 years, and he never returned home. But when his tribe buried him, they wrote this on his epitaph: when he came, there was no light. When he left, there was no darkness. He had to have been frightened. He had to have been frightened to chase the tailwind of that wild goose. And yet, look at what God did with his faithfulness. You know, this week, Steve and I, as well as 10 people from Trinity, were away at annual conference. And as we were there on Friday evening, there was a wonderful worship service where we celebrated many of the new things that God is doing in the Florida area of the United Methodist Church. We celebrated the fact that more than 300 new types of ministries called Fresh Expressions have been starting across the state. Things like having church in kayaks on a river, having tattoo parlor church, having dinner church, having things like Trinity has, Bibles and Brew, and Holy Yoga. We celebrated the fact that over in that place at the end of the earth, Tallahassee, FAMU, Florida A&M University, has restarted their campus ministry, and it is rocking. And they're getting ready to purchase some facilities to be able to have a place called home. And the woman that is starting it, she is a former FAMU math professor, and she loves students, and she loves Jesus. We celebrated the fact that over 14 different churches have gotten involved in Zoe, as we have. And 1,000 children are in the Zoe program, orphans working toward empowerment and being self-sufficient. And there's a $42,000 grant so that more churches, hopefully we can double the number of churches and orphans involved in the coming year. And then on Saturday morning, we were able to celebrate together as Reverend Lenora Russo was ordained, along with 50 other people that were either ordained or commissioned or licensed as local pastors. And then at the end of that service, we are in the habit of inviting people to come forward. You might want someone to pray for them as they are exploring some kind of call into ministry. And as Bishop Carter made that invitation, and Steve and I were both sitting with the clergy, I just paused. People from Trinity came forward to ask for prayer. Two college students that are beginning to explore a call into ministry is Erica Finley and Joey McGinn. Now, Erica said she thought maybe she wanted to work in some kind of non-profit, working for justice and compassion. But after being at annual conference, she felt like she wanted to be a part of this church, that she wanted to pursue whatever ministry she is called to do through the church, through ordination as a deacon. And Joey didn't know if ministry might be possible for him, but he now wants to explore that and feel some of those doors opening. And the Holy Spirit is working in that place. The Holy Spirit is working in sometimes we might feel like we are on a wild goose chase, that we're not sure where the tailwind of the Spirit will take us. In the Gospel of John, when Jesus is explaining to Nicodemus what it means to be born again and to follow Christ, he says this: "The wind blows where it chooses, and you will hear the sound of it, but you do not know from where it comes or where it will go." So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit. So what would that look like in your life? What might it look like for you to try to catch the tailwind of the Holy Spirit? What might it look like for us, church? And where might the Spirit be leading us, Trinity? We can only know when we begin to listen to the startling sound of the geese and take flight to join in. We probably won't know our ultimate destination, but it's a risk worth taking. It's a flight worth joining in. It's a fear worth overcoming. It's a wild goose chase. "In the last days," God says, "I will pour out my Spirit on all people. Your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Your young will see visions. Your elders will dream dreams. Even upon my servants, I will pour out my Spirit. Men and women, in those days they will prophesy. I will cause wonders in the heavens above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and a cloud of smoke. The sun will be turned to darkness and the moon will be changed to blood before the great and spectacular day of the Lord comes. And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved." Good and gracious God, you come like a wild goose. Spirit comes and startles us. It is not controllable. It is not tameable. And we are just trying to catch hold of that tailwind and take to flight to join your church in whatever it is that you are going to do next. Oh God, we give you thanks that you said we will never be alone, that you will always be with us. And as you are with us, you pull us to places that are surprising to us and disturbing to us, places that are frightening to us. And God, help us to hold on to that feeling. We know it's a wild goose chase, but you are with us by the power of your Holy Spirit. And all of us, everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.
Before I call, before I ever cry, you answer me from where the thunder hides. I cannot run this heart I'm tethered to. With every step I collide with you. Like a tidal wave crashing over, rushing in to meet me here. Your love
Could I be lost when you have called me found? You chase me down, you seek me out. How could I be lost when you have called me found? You chase me down, you seek me out. Crashing over me, rushing in to meet me here. Your love is fierce, like a hurricane that I can't escape, tearing through the atmosphere. Your love is fierce. Your love.
Times when something would happen and that seemed to put one of our kids at risk, or somebody was threatening to hurt them or harm them in some way. And so there was this image of Catherine's love for them that became a popular one for me, that she would swoop in like a mama bear with love that was fierce, to make sure her kids are going to be okay. When we come to this table, it is one of the places where we see the fierceness of God's love on display. In just a moment, we're going to invite you to come and participate in the celebration of Holy Communion. And whether you're here for the first time today or you're here all the time, this table is for you. Because in the wild and wonderful love of God, Jesus Christ came into the world to offer himself in full obedience for all of us, for every one of us, to make space for every one of us at God's table. So know that as we get ready to celebrate today. Here we remember that as he was approaching the end of his life and his journey with his disciples in ministry, on the night before he died, he gathered to share a final meal with them. And he took bread that night and he broke it. And he shared it with them and he said, "Take and eat, all of you. This is my body given to you. Do this in remembrance of me." And then he took a cup and he gave thanks and he shared it with them and he said, "Take and drink. This is the blood of the new covenant poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. As often as you do it, you're in remembrance of me." We pray for you. Good and gracious God, fill our hearts with thanksgiving as we come to participate in the meal where you make room for all of us. Pour out your Holy Spirit on everyone here and on these gifts of the bread and wine, so that as we receive them, we might recognize the presence of Christ in these gifts and among us and working through us. to be one with you, one with each other, and one in ministry to the world. Until that day when we all feast at your heavenly banquet table. Amen. Let me invite those who are serving this morning to come at this time and get ready to offer these gifts to the church. You'll see servers spread throughout the worship space in front of each of the sections. And we invite you to come to that pair that's in front of your section, starting with the front row and working from the back, left side to right. You'll come, receive bread, take the bread, dip it into the cup, then return to your seat, or if you'd like, feel free to come and spend time on your knees up here praying to the God who loves you so much. Let us celebrate today.
Awaken my
God, you have nourished us by the mystery of your grace through coming to the table together. And we pray that we will be strengthened by that to go out into the world to love and serve as you have loved us. In Christ's name, we pray.
Amen. We'll stand and sing our last song, I Could Sing of Your Love Forever. Over the mountains and the seas, your river runs with love for me, and I will open up my heart and let the healer set me free. I'm happy to be in the truth, and I will daily lift my hand, for I will always sing of when your love came down. I could sing of your love forever. 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 Over the mountains and the sea, your river runs with love for me, and I will open up my heart. Let the healer set me free. I'm happy to be in the truth, and I will daily lift my hand, for I will always sing of when your love came down. I can sing of your love forever. I can sing of your love forever. I can sing of your love forever. I can sing of your love forever.
So as you go out, I invite you to catch the tailwind of the Holy Spirit. It might take you to unpredictable, frightening, new and different places. But may we, church, be lit on fire by the power of the Holy Spirit, and take a hold of that flying goose, that wild goose.